Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. So today on our radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and we got our man in Washington, D.C., with a welcome break from all the things that we're going to talk about before then. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We won't have to talk about Joy or Ja or any of that nonsense. We will talk to Charles about the rest of the world. So Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. Charles Fishman, Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. It is a big day today, though, Jeffrey, because we have, let's see, we got trade deadline, NFL trade deadline today.
Seems like we might actually get some action today.
3 p.m. There's already been some action.
Right. We obviously had a Phillips moving from the Dolphins.
Jalen Phillips traded to the Eagles.
So happy for them.
I hate the Eagles.
So happy for them.
I hate the Eagles. They seem so freaking effective.
Yes.
You know?
I hate how well run they are.
Yes, I hate it. I hate it. And the Ravens, if you thought that the Ravens were folding up their tent, they are not. They, from the Titans, get Draymond Jones for a fifth-round pick. Two pass rushers traded so far. I saw there's some other action. Let's see. Is there some other action already? Anyway, that's 3 p.m. Here you go. The Cowboys, who lost last night, acquiring veteran linebacker Logan Wilson from the Cincinnati Bengals for a seventh-round pick. And we shall see. One of the questions is, it doesn't feel like Kyler Murray's going to be traded today, but what are the Cardinals going to do with their quarterbacks going forward?
I mean, the thing about Brissett is Brissett can give you a few weeks where you're like, man, things look better.
And he is.
But if he were good enough, he'd be a starter in this league. He's had so many opportunities.
So you don't put him in the Darnold. Darnold had a lot of opportunities. He looks like a starter. Daniel Jones had opportunities, or one big opportunity. He looks like a starter. He didn't look like a starter this weekend. But like, we've seen a Baker bounced around. He emerged as a starter. Why can't Jacoby Brissett be the next?
I just always feel like Brissett is like the world. Like, he's new Colt McCoy in the sense of, when you watch him for a couple of weeks, you're like, man, the team looks better. But then when everyone just kind of figures out, all right, here's what they try to do with him, it tends to not work as well.
Anyway, trade deadline today, 3 p.m. So that's exciting. We also have the playoff rankings will be revealed for the first time this evening. Jeffrey, what are you interested in?
We'll talk. How do they differentiate between Miami and Notre Dame? I mean, because I do think that's an interesting aspect
It will be a very interesting question. If Miami runs the table the rest of the way, doesn't make it to the conference championship game, then what happens to Miami as an at-large and Notre Dame as an at-large when Miami has beaten Notre Dame?
Yes. I think the other questions are we going to see, are we going to get evidence that this new strength of schedule metric
kicking in some way,
correct,
meaningful like, way?
I think, how high is BYU is a question. And then maybe how do they sort out the SEC teams?
We will we'll get into that more as this hour goes on. But so yeah, listen, we don't have baseball anymore. Is there a football game today of any kind?
Let's see. I don't think we have action until next week.
I don't think there's a football game today. We do have college basketball.
No, I'm sorry. We have we do have some action today.
Okay.
So we have UMass at Akron.
Mm.
Get fired up, and then we have Miami of Ohio at Ohio.
That's probably a big rivalry game.
Well, that's also for the top of the standings too.
Okay, there you go. And we got college basketball. We got Texas and Duke tonight. We see the Boozer Twins. So college basketball obviously tipped off yesterday. So we do have a lot of things to get to today before we get to Chris Harrington and before we get to Fish on Friday on Tuesday. But we begin with last night's proceedings at FedEx Forum, where the Grizzlies went down in defeat to the Detroit Pistons. Now lost three in a row, 114-106. That was not at all the real topic of discussion, though. The question was, how would this go with Ja? How would it go with Isolo and Ja? What would be said? Have they put it behind them? Now, when you were looking forward to last night, were you hopeful? What was your because we had had at that point we'd had Isolo saying, you know, didn't align with our standards, his behavior didn't align with our standards, but we're looking forward to moving on, right? That was whatever, and we'd have Ja who posted the "Let's Go Grizz" photo before the Raptors game. That's really all we had before last night. Were you hopeful that they would put it behind them?
I wasn't hopeful, nor was I negative. I was very much in the let's see.
Let's
like, you know what I mean? Like
what has happened. Yeah. Well, so first we got Isolo. And Isolo basically said the same thing again. He said he's not going to get into the particulars. I'm not quoting him exactly. But he said he's not going to get into the details. It's an internal matter. And he said that people asked in various ways the questions to see if they could get a little more sense of what happened, and he was not going there. And that was fine. It was fine. He said the discussions are going to remain internal was the essence of it. That's an internal matter, and I won't be discussing any details. Asked specifically about Ja's play in the second half against LA, he said the second quarter was one of our best quarters so far this season, and we made a tremendous run through our efforts, second chance opportunities, second shot opportunities in transition. In the second half, I didn't see much of the same. But he said, okay, well, we're talking more about Ja, not just the team. And he said, I thought as a team we didn't do a good enough job in the second. He would not address it. That's fine. He didn't address it. He said that the key going forward is adaptability and pragmatism. So there you go. That's what he had to say. And then the game commenced. And two things struck you, or struck me. One is, Grizzlies aren't very good.
I feel like that's the biggest aspect of this is how much
I think it's a hidden part of this.
Spoon to gunfight, you know?
Is how much of the frustration, again, no one has ever said what ticked Ja off to begin this, what accounted for his second half play against the Lakers. But, and people have speculated that it's the rotations, right? The rotation patterns and the being played in short stints and all of that. I do think, and again, none of this is to excuse Ja. We're going to talk about Ja in a minute. I do think it must be damn frustrating to be playing with that slaw lineup. Like, you literally, you had Jalen Wells and KCP in the first half, 0 of 10. 0 of 10. Like, they could not hit a shot. Between them, 2 of 14, 0 of 4. I mean, 2 of 14 and 0 of 4. Wells was 2 of 14, 0 of 7. KCP was 0 of 4 and 0 of 3 from 3. Like, they cannot shoot. And then you pass it to Landale, and it's just a disaster. I mean, it's a clown show. Just bad. You've got some of the all-time bad Grizzlies suiting up right now. I mean, with all due respect, Cam Spencer comes in and tries hard and hits some threes. He hit some threes again last night. But, like, I do wonder how much of the frustration is just the lineup. Again, not at all an excuse.
No, I'm with you, because I do think a legitimate question is, you have two very good players, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and if you go two-man combinations, it's only the 13th most played lineup that they have.
Well, and that's because they're trying to stagger.
Correct. I understand.
They're trying to stagger. So anyway, so that the first thing that struck me is, one of the media that struck me is, my God, this is not a good team.
And Jalen has had a brutal start to the season.
Just cannot hit a shot. So, but then the other thing is, his job was totally, he was not quiet quitting. He was 100%. Pouting, he intentionally looked like, if someone told you you had to go do something and you were 12 years old, right?
Yep.
You had to go to church, you know, whatever else.
Sure, whatever.
You had to go do something and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Ja looked like throughout the entire proceeding. Even when in the second half he throws down this massive dunk, everyone else is blowing up. He's like, nope, nope. And it started in warmups. He's got his hoodie pulled over his head. He was determined not to show any fun. I'll play, I'll whatever, but I'm not going to enjoy it. He's literally like your 12-year-old kid who whatever. Maybe his sister wanted to go to the Mid-South Fair, and so you're like, well, as a family, we got to go to the fair. And so he's like, okay, but I'm not going to enjoy it. And he's sullenly eating his cotton candy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was.
This is me getting sent to my youngest brother's four-year-old Christmas pageant.
I'm not. You cannot make me smile. I am going to show how unhappy I am. And sure, I'll show up and I'll be professional. But.
Was he?
No. No. No.
He'll show up. I think I would stop this.
I will show up and I will play.
Yes.
The effort was fine.
Yeah.
On the court.
I agree.
I don't disagree with that. But he is going to show you with his manner. He's going to radiate unhappiness. And then in the post game, well, we have the post game. Here's the post game interview.
The coaching staff able to talk about what happened Friday and
tomorrow. Y'all asked that question to them, huh?
What about for you?
Y'all ask that question. Y'all know the answer to that.
Do you feel like everything's been resolved?
Yeah. They told y'all, right?
Well, yeah, but we didn't hear from you. Well,
obviously, they can't go and tell y'all something I didn't say.
You feel like you get the same joy right now that we used to see from you?
No.
Why not?
What can be done to get it back?
We'll see.
Do you think you have a good relationship with the franchise?
Yeah. Yeah. I told y'all that, right?
Didn't say anything about that.
If I had a good relationship, I wouldn't talk to him at all. So. And we had our combos over these.
Do you have any regrets about the way you played on Friday night in the second half?
You said what?
Do you have any regrets about the way you played in the game? I'm talking about the
That's your whole long question. It's not like a bait question.
What a disaster. Total disaster. Total disaster of an interview. All he had to do was say, and again, he'd have to take my word, whatever. All he had to do was say, listen, it was my bad Friday the second half. I overreacted. We've ironed some things out. I want to go forward. Yes, we've worked it out, and we're gonna, you know, they're gonna always be disagreements. We're both, all the same stuff people say. You know, this is the same stuff that the Eagles say when they're dealing with a, You know, like
AJ Brown reading a book on the sideline.
Yeah, same stuff. Everyone has passion. We all care about winning. We're all pulling the same direction. It's heated. Things are going to happen. Like all any of that nonsense that you hear all the time. That's all he had to say. And then again, it wouldn't mean that it's necessarily over, but it allows you to move on, and to see what happens next. It was easy. It was a lob that he, you know, I mean, that it's hilarious, by the way. I see some people criticizing the media for asking quote unquote bait questions or whatever for the hard hitting questions. People all the time ask, why don't you ask hard questions? Like we got that with Calipari. They're like, someone immediately said, why don't you ask him about a home and home? You let him off the hook. We actually did ask him about a home and home. People want you to ask Isolo hard questions. They want you to ask Jenkins hard questions. They want you to ask, and then they if you ask a question which wasn't even hard, like here were the questions, as far as I could tell, the questions were, have you talked to Isolo and worked it out, right? Do you have a good relationship with the franchise? Are you playing with the same joy? How do you get it back? And then the only thing that was even close to a pointed question or a difficult question was, do you regret the way you played in the second half? And the answer to that, let's be honest, should have been yes.
Well, but it's also not a bait question.
It's not a bait question.
It's the opportunity.
Opportunity to say, listen, I screwed up. It's not a bait question.
Or it's the opportunity, because it was a talking point on the postgame show, that the effort wasn't there.
Yeah, so he could have said, no, I don't regret it at all. Or could have said, whatever. He can answer it however you want to answer it. But we saw him quit on his team. Totally reasonable to ask him if he regretted the way he played in the second half.
Or it's an opportunity to defend yourself. You
or
know
it's
what
an
mean?
Opportunity like, to say, listen, man, I was frustrated. Yeah, do I regret? Do I wish? Yeah, I was frustrated. Here's the point. If you wanted to put this behind you, if that was the goal, to put it behind you, there's any number of ways to answer any of these questions that would have allowed people to move forward. Instead, the hole got deeper last night. The hole got deeper because what you saw, what everyone saw, whether it was on the court or off the court later, was a very, very deeply unhappy player. The answers that he gave were, they told you. Basically, it's like, I'm being forced to do these things. They're telling you these things. Just talk to them. Like, sounds like a guy who right now hates his franchise.
It's at the bare minimum, it is someone is deeply unhappy.
Deeply unhappy. And so what do you do with that? Like, it was a disaster. That was a disaster. If the Grizzlies were wondering, what are we going to do now? And I have been of the view that you got to make this work because there's really no other option. He is worth less and less every hour, apparently. You know, like, what franchise wants to deal with that, right? Oh, yeah, he'll be happy when you get him, but within 6 months, you can guarantee you're going to be getting passive-aggressive nonsense. Who the hell wants to deal with that? So you get nothing for him. By the way, do I think that Tomas Isolo is handled this the right way or is great at his job? No. Like, I'm not weighing in. I think it's too early to know, but I'm not like saying Tomas Isolo is a genius and you just got to do what he says and everything will be right. He could be screwing this up. And the notion that the way you do this is to call out Ja in front of your teammates, whatever, that could be a strategically massive mistake.
So Anthony Sain found a video with Tomas doing like a podcast with another European basketball guy.
Right, where and, he talked about how players get over it. And
well, no, like he talked about like
– he calls players out.
In
front of other players. This is his learned – part of his learned strategy is to call players out, and he realizes that they get ultimately get over it. And it's part of his the thing he does. Well, with all due respect, like is it clear to me that that is the way you operate as an NBA basketball coach? Maybe the way you operate as a European basketball coach. Is that the successful way to handle John Morant? Doesn't appear to be.
The early returns after one night are no.
The early returns are not that this is the most effective way to deal with John Morant. Having said that, they've been dealing with John Morant all kinds of different ways ever since. I remember when they were the allegations were that members of the John Morant party.
Are we talking about the Pacers?
It was a laser pointer, at the team bus and whatever. The way the team scrambled back then, the franchise, scrambled.
The organization.
To defend Ja, what nonsense it was, BS it was, whatever. Like, they, starting there, and then pretty much going forward, they have gone out of their way to make things easy and to cover for John Moran. So if in the end they're trying a different tactic, I'm not sure I blame them. You know, it doesn't seem to be working out well. Let's just say that. And here's the problem. There was lots of problems. No end of problems. A lot of the podcasts, like Draymond Green's podcast yesterday, I thought was just total nonsense, the BS. The one where he said, well, he didn't like the offense last year. Basically, he said the same thing. Ja didn't like the offense last year, and they hired the coach who was responsible for the offense. It's clear they don't care what Ja thinks. It's just a misstatement of the facts. Like, it wasn't Isolo's offense. And it's just like, so nonsense. But Danny Green was doing a podcast and was asked about Ja. And I did think he said something that was interesting. Do we have that clip?
Right, I know he respected Taylor Jenkins. I don't know how much he respects, you know, the new guy.
So from your estimation, it just doesn't seem like Ja Morant is down with the new coaching regime and what Tuomas Isolo is trying to implement with this offense or defense or just the principles in general.
That's what it looked like. Or maybe he's just not down with how he criticizes him. Again, which I loved about the organization, they were okay and open to criticism. You know, they were allowing themselves to be coached very much like the San Antonio Spurs organization. Taylor Jenkins brought that environment, that atmosphere to that group. He was able to criticize Ja. He was able to criticize Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't know if Ja's taking this same type of criticism or same energy from this group the same way. And for what a lot of us know, he doesn't seem like the type of guy to just, you know, be submissive to a situation and be like, all right, from what we've seen, again, he's gotten fined for celebration. Did he stop celebrating? Absolutely not. He's going to find a different way to celebrate. Is he going to stop doing what he does? No, he's going to find a way to get his way. It could get really messy, but he's not going to back down. He's not the type of guy to act like he cares about getting suspended or getting a fine. He's going to be like, look, I want to hoop. I want to play basketball, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
I think that last point that he made in terms of explaining Ja, not justifying Ja either way, this is on its face is neither a criticism nor a justification, but I think it's accurate. When Ja is pushed such as back as against the wall, when he is fined for celebrations, you would think lots of people might go, well, you know what? I better stop doing that. The gun thing. Okay, fine. Fine. They don't want me to do the gun thing. I'll stop doing the gun thing, whatever else. Ja gets called on the carpet, fined, all of that for that. What does he do? He invents the hand grenade.
Yep.
He comes up with a different way to celebrate. He is not backing down. And I can totally imagine it is totally consistent with what we know of Ja to having been called out Friday called out Friday, suspended Saturday, to not back down, to say, fine, I'll show up, I'll play hard, but you will not see me acting happy, and you are not gonna. I am not just. It's funny because I'm pretty unsympathetic to the way that he's comporting himself. Let's just say that. I agree that Isolo may be appropriately subject to criticism and maybe mishandling this. He may be a horrible coach for all I know. He's not exactly getting the best out of Jaren. You know, like, who knows? So I agree. But how Ja is handling this is seems to me to be wildly inappropriate. And just, man, you're making $40 million. You're making $40 million to be a leader for an organization that has coddled you and done everything for you. Come on, man. Couldn't you, like, it is funny, though. I was talking to my therapist wife today about this, and she at least gave me the other perspective. And she said some people just, she was talking about her own son when he was playing football, and he just, maybe this is the wrong phrase, but she said his all view was, he's, I'm not going to be anyone's monkey. I'm not just going to be anyone's. I'm not going to do what you want me to do just because you tell me I have to do it. Right. That was like, some people are like that. Right.
Sure.
And sure, I make $40 million and I'm talented, but that doesn't mean I'm not human. And if you call, like, he's not going to summon up joy because you want him to summon up joy. You know what I mean? He's not going to, like, just pretend to be happy Ja when he's not happy Ja. And she was actually helping me to think maybe there is some side of it that is Ja's perspective here. I'm still not kind of buying it, honestly. Like, I think when you make $40 million for an organization and you quit on your team Friday, you should have the capacity to admit that you're wrong about something, right?
Yeah.
Has he ever admitted he's wrong about anything, as far as we can tell?
I mean, only when he did the heavily scripted Jalen Rose interview where, you know,
right,
like those were canned answers.
And so now the problem is that, well, lots of problems. Because they're in the midst of a homestand. I will tell you, it was not a fun experience being in the building last night, watching Ja's moods. I've said this before. You're in a toxic relationship. It's like being in a relationship with someone. You got to tiptoe around their moods all the time. When they're happy, you can be happy. When they're sad, oh my God. Oh no, they're mad today. Don't get them mad. Don't do anything, like, whatever. It's not fun when Ja is playing joylessly, right? If you're, they're supposed to be selling fun down there, right? That's what you're selling. You're having a good time. Come in here, buy some nachos, have a good time, cheer for the Grizzlies. And instead it's like watching this miserable drama play out. How is that sustainable? Like, how is that sustainable? And then the other problem is, what do you do? You know, I've heard some people say, you know, I think Vernon was saying divorce is not an option. But how can it not be? At some point, it has to be an option. At some point, you just have to say, you're firing Isolo, but they're not going to fire Isolo eight games in.
Yeah, I mean, I assume we're not counting last year or whatever. They're
right. They're not going to turn around and fire Isolo. So what the hell is that? How do you get out of it? Or do you just keep playing and hope his mood improves?
I think the question is, do you think things will change when they start to get reinforcements?
Well, the point that Chris was making yesterday was, this all needs patience, right? This all needs, yes, you're going to get reinforcements back. It's a new coach. It's a new system. Yesterday, Zach Edey practiced, like, you know, with the hustle. So that's a good sign. So you're going to get players back. You know, ultimately, you'll get the others back. This is a team that's down four key rotation players. So when I say they stink, they do, but they're down four key rotation players. And so, yeah, let's give it a chance, play as hard as we can, learn the system, and things will improve. And that, if that had been everyone's mindset, then you could have gotten through this, what we knew would be a difficult period. But when you have what we saw last night, can you get through this period? How?
Well, I mean, I think the question that I would actually start with is, when did this all change? Because
they know.
Yeah.
They know. They're not telling us. They know.
But, like, I did not notice anything until Friday night.
By the way, he played 35 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Didn't cheer him up.
Maybe it's who he's playing with.
I mean, it is funny. I go back to it. Like, but that is not a reason. Listen, let's be clear. Let's say you're playing with a center who can't handle your passes, and you're playing with shooters who can't hit shots to create any space, and it's miserable for you right now, and you're having a hard time being Ja, right?
Yep.
How is that any different than when Patrick Mahomes, who's set the world on fire, been the best quarterback in the history of the world, blah, 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 and all of a sudden he's got no receivers. They don't get receivers for him. You know, he's having to play. Or with Josh Allen. Josh Allen has no receivers who can get open.
Correct.
Like, he doesn't, like, they put up 28, was it, against the Chiefs?
28.
28 against the Chiefs the other day, and it was, like, they don't, they threw is to Shakir behind the line of scrimmage. I think his average catch was
And then the tight ends.
And then the tight ends, yeah. Right. But he has no outside receivers, period.
Correct.
So he could be miserable about that. Or if you're a leader and a great player, you say, huh, what do I have to work with? Let's make it work as best I can. That's just what you do. It's what Tom Brady did all along. It's what you do. You're a leader. You're getting paid. And you understood, or you should have understood coming into this year, that it was going to be a transition year anyway. And it was then exacerbated by the ridiculous run of injuries to the organization. And so what do you do as a leader? You just do the opposite of what he's doing. You're not the person who's the most miserable. You're the person who's supposed to be giving belief. Chris would phrase this way in his column today, giving belief to other players. But if you have none yourself, you are you're sucking belief from the players. I heard one pro athlete recently say, you can either be a drain or a fountain.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Be a fountain. Be a fountain.
Are you making everybody else around you better, or are you making them worse?
So therefore, but then that gets you to the problem. Therefore, what?
Well, I think the question first is why?
Well, I mean, what if the answer is I hate the rotations and I hate that you called me out Friday.
Okay.
Publicly.
So
I'm going to be mad.
I think that is at least more solvable. Because, like, in the end, I think part of the problem with rotations are they don't have enough dudes, and they're just trying to get through this.
Yeah, but he's not going to abandon his stint system. He can't capitulate.
Maybe, what if he does when he has better options?
It's part of his philosophy. It was one of the things that he talked about. It was one of the things.
But he did abandon this in the playoffs.
He did not, yes, but he did not. So he has never said, no one has ever said that the problem is the rotations. Okay. No one has ever said, well, the reason he was mad was the rotations. That is purely speculation, educated guesses. Okay. Isola was asked about, he wouldn't say anything about this situation. He was asked generally about whether players might be unhappy with the way that he has them playing in these short stints. Okay. And what he said was this, that he did address. He said, I would say I have a lot of understanding for the players who say this. I think a lot of players have been conditioned throughout their career to play in longer stints and to go find that rhythm. And basketball, just like every other global team sport, is evolving. And the demands on the intensity are higher and higher. And we are looking to also adapt to the times. A lot of planning, a lot of feel goes into planning the sub patterns. I think that what's often forgotten is what comes out, the actual sub pattern. It's the optimized results in the short, medium, and long term. That is the only goal of the sub pattern, to find a competitive advantage from it. Like, it's a good question to ask, because you could say, okay, what are you maybe not getting if you're getting intensity and pace? Pace being one of our key components, especially here in the early season. You might be sacrificing some chemistry within the units because they might play shorter times together, or it might be more substitutions in an NBA game that already has a lot of stops in it. So I understand the concern. But what we're after is the best overall result, like I said, in the short, medium, and long term. That's his philosophy, and that's what he's going to do, and he's not going to abandon it. He did talk about, and hell, Ja played 35 minutes last night. He did talk about pragmatism and flexibility as being the keys to get through this. But are you counting on, let's say he did change that. Is Ja ever going to drop his grudge about being called out in the locker room?
No, but like, I think you can at least get over, like, I think you can, that can be mediated.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it again. You know, Braden from Collierville never called in yesterday.
It seems like he was in class.
So, just in case you have fresh thoughts. Okay. We took calls on this yesterday. After what happened last night, now where are you? Same place? Have you shifted? We'll talk about it when we get back. 445-0929, 445-0929. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you're feeling sick about all this, I don't blame you, but get to ProHealth. I don't know that they deal with this, but they'll give you a sinus cocktail shot if that's what you need. And again, sick visits, they do that too. You don't have to wait 3 hours at the urgent care. You walk in, get better, get back to life, take care of it before it knocks you out. Honestly, it's what healthcare should feel like. You walk into ProHealth, they'll help you out, and they'll get back to your normal life. Plus, as I've mentioned before, they're really a one-stop shop in terms of a lot of this stuff, testosterone replacement, the sinus cocktail, and the weight loss shot that they have as well. It's science, man. It's science that can help you lose weight. Curb your appetite. Seems like the best way to lose weight. ProHealthMemphis.com to learn more, or you can go. They have an office in Germantown, Collierville, Bartlett, Arlington, and two in East Memphis. All right, Jeffrey, we're doing it again. We're opening up the phones. Have people change their minds, or what happened last night, according to y'all? 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's start with Bobby in Midtown. Bobby, you are on.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you?
Boy, the Grizzlies, I'm great. The Grizzlies sure keep giving you something to talk about every day, don't they?
You know, but I'd rather, Jeffrey and I were talking about this off the air. It is true. This is certainly something to talk about, but I would rather not have it. You know, we fill up 2 hours every day when the world isn't ending over there, and so I'd rather not. I'd rather everyone get along. But yeah, your thoughts?
Well, I consider myself a typical fan. I don't understand completely all the analytical stuff that sometimes Islo talks about, and I don't necessarily care to. I'm going to go back to an old Al Davis quote, just win, baby. I think if we could win a game, maybe even win two in a row, but I think a win is going to make the team happy, the players happy, the coaches happy, the fans happy, and give us something else to talk about. So I think I'm just looking forward to the next win, and I think that'll help everyone move on a little bit.
Well, the problem is, Jeffrey, yeah. Do you have the schedule in front of you? Let's go. The problem here. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Not fun.
445-0929, 445-0929. The next handful of games, not going to be so delivering a lot of wins is the problem. It doesn't appear. Like, who knows? Games are games, and hope springs eternal, and everything else.
All right, so we have the Rockets on Wednesday, mm-hmm. the Mavericks on Friday, mm-hmm. another cup game. Get fired up. Thunder on Sunday. Then they go to New York on Tuesday. Next. Wednesday is the Celtics on a back-to-back. Then they go to Cleveland on Saturday.
And then San Antonio.
Yeah.
So I think after that, 445-0929, 445-0929.
All right, Jeff, let's go to D-Midge in Collierville. D-Midge, you're on.
Jeff, good morning. Thank you for taking my call again, man. Didn't expect to hear from you twice in 1 week.
So your thoughts?
Hey, real quick, man. Ja is who we think he is, man. He came from Mary State. You know, he has a chip on his shoulder. So I don't think we want to get rid of that. But you also like, Ja, come on, man. You got to relax. You know, you got to chill out. But with saying that, which is my last point, I think Perry needs to get on his jet. Jeff, come here, sit him and the coach down and say, hey, look, ain't nobody going nowhere. Let's figure this out. Everybody's coming to see Ja. We're not coming to see no coach, and we ain't going to see none of the other players, respectfully. We need to keep him here, but Ja kind of he needs to chill out a little bit, you know? Thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks very much. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you're on.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
So when I saw Ja post Go Grizz on Instagram, I was optimistic. I was thinking like, okay, he's turning it around. But after seeing his post-game comments yesterday and his attitude, I'm a little nervous. And I feel like they need like a players-only meeting. But Ja and Jaren are the ones that should call that meeting. But they're not really that type of leader. And Desmond Bane would have been that leader maybe to call a players-only meeting, or Steven Adams, but we don't have those guys anymore. So I don't know, maybe somebody from the core four can step in and, like, reach out to John Jaren and try and coach them up on how to be more vocal leaders or turn this thing around. What do you guys thought?
Thanks very much. I did think to myself that they missed Desmond Bane in there, you know, as a voice of as a voice of reason. Steven Adams maybe as well. The problem is that the players, I'm not sure all the players are on the same side here. You know, I don't know that a players only meeting is going to, it could be spicy as well. All right, Jeffrey, who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Latrell in Memphis. Latrell, you're on.
Hey guys, I called yesterday and I was real concerned about Ja. And you're right, Jeff. His attitude, I want to see Ja have a lot of fun, and I'm a little concerned and worried that it's not going to work out. I'm kind of worried, but I really believe that we should give it some time. Our players are hurt, and that's the problem. Once we get the players back in rotation, I think we're going to start doing some things and winning and getting back on track. But right now, with the juggernaut schedule that we have, man, we could lose 7-8 in a row. It's possible, but
it's not doesn't help matters. I agree with that. You a win would improve spirits, right? I think
it would.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. It's funny. I'm going back and forth, and I don't know if he wants me to say it or not, so I won't say who it was. And the person I'm texting with said that, things got ugly over the weekend. Like, things were said, right, on both sides. Whatever. They're not robots. This is sort of what Claire was telling me, like a different version of that. They're not robots. You just can't show up and expect to be all happy, happy, happy if you've been through this mess as an organization. Maybe, therefore, I guess under that theory, give it some time. The problem is they're not going to be knocked over with a trade, they're not going to be knocked over with a trade proposal that's going to force them to trade Ja immediately. So it does feel like they're stuck for now. therapy may be in order. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Michael in Midtown. Michael, you are on.
Hey, Michael.
We knew at the beginning of the season that with all the injuries and stuff, that it was going to be a rough go. We just didn't know what form the rough go would take. This is something that's there for us to talk about. It's right in front of us, and we can continue talking about it. But the actual outcome, the actual what we do with the season, we're not going to know until January, February, somewhere in there when all the injuries are back and everybody is Jaw has somebody to pass to, Jaw has somebody who can make a shot.
I agree that's true if we get there. Like if you get there, and I think that's what Chris was saying. Everyone needs to have patience to see how this works out. But if Ja himself doesn't have patience, how do you ever even get to January? Like, how do you make it to January if you have a sullen, pouting superstar?
Well, the season may be over, but the future may not be. This season may be gone again, and rack it up to injuries. John doesn't have anybody to play with. You know?
No, that is true. That could not be more obvious. That could not be more obvious last night.
Except for Jer, and they don't seem to be on the same page totally.
All right.
We'll continue to talk about what's in front of us.
All right.
But
thank you very much.
We're not going to know the future until everybody's back in place.
Jeffrey, who do we got? If you're on the line, we'll get to you. Otherwise, probably not, right?
Yeah, that's fine, Jeff. Let's go to Nick in Memphis. Nick, you're on.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the call. I just want to say, what just was mentioned, the issue seems to be like a lack of depth. And I don't understand that they're playing a platoon-style offense, it seems like. How is it that Ja, who is like as brittle as, you know, as anybody I've ever seen on the court, have an expectation that he's going to play more minutes in the first part of the season when we don't have Ty Jerome or Scottie Pippen Jr.? You know what I mean? I don't understand like his mindset. I guess he wants to be on the stage and he's a winner and all that other stuff. But reality is he breaks his damn foot, you know, three times a season and he can't play. So,
yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I think one of the things I want to say is that Ja has never said that's his source of unhappiness. Like we're speculating that it has been surmised that the rotations are a source of unhappiness for him. He has never actually come out and said that. And the Grizzlies haven't said that's the source of unhappiness. I do think it's natural. And this is a point Jeffrey made. When you see Luka out there having a massive game and you're playing with slaw players and you're getting pulled out after 6 minutes, you're playing in these stints and you're used to, you grew up, I'm Tomas Isolo said it. Basketball players are conditioned to be out there and to play long stretches of time, right? And to get periodic breaks. So you can see why he would be frustrated by that. I do not believe that justifies the way that he reacted Friday when you're the leader of the team. But no one has ever said that. We have speculated that that's a source of his unhappiness. What do we got?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Jeff, let's go to Warren in Whitehaven. Warren, you're on.
Hey, Warren.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
We're good.
I was pretty concerned last night watching Ja's body language. Mm-hmm. He seemed to be checked out. I also was concerned about the shooting last night. I think one of the guys for FanDuel, Brevin, brought up a fact that Jalen Wells was like 4 for 50-some from the field. I mean, from three-point. That was real concerning. Also, I noticed that Bassey got 10 rebounds in 13 minutes when you had two bigs, Jaren and Landale, didn't get half of that in double the time. It seems like the team is checked out. I mean, I may be wrong, but based on me watching the Grizzlies, how I've been watching them for the last few years, something seems off, and I just don't see that being reconciled without a change somewhere. Okay. Hopefully, it's the coach, not the superstar, because we don't get – man, I've been watching the Grizzlies for 20 years, and we only got one legitimate superstar, and we need to keep that guy happy. That's
Thank
just
you.
My
Appreciate
two
it.
Cents.
Thanks so much. The shooting's been dreadful. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Michael in Memphis. Michael, you're on.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning. I'm enjoying your show and all the comments. I know there's frustration with this, but each player has to understand, as a professional, there's frustration in the game. They can channel their frustration into defense. If they look at their schedule, they look at who they are challenged every night. But they can't be in their own heads. They got to be professionals. If you're in a shooting slump, you got to work yourself out of a shooting slump. All this stuff is done at practice, but when you go on that field on that court, you have to be focused. And if you're mad, put it in defense. Put it in the offense. They out there, they don't even look like the fundamentals. They don't even look like they have set plays. And other teams score so easily, and we're wandering around out there like we don't know where we're supposed to be. So they need to get into the focus of what they need to do to win by whatever necessary, especially defense and rebounds. You're telling me that we don't know how to block out and get rebounds because we're frustrated? They need to get their heads in the game, and they need to take one win at a time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown.
Nick.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I didn't go to the game or watch the game last night. Terrible fan.
You got the essence, though. I bet you have the essence of it.
Yeah, no, I kept up with it enough to know, you know. I can tell, you know, just, I mean, checking the stats and everything, and then listening to Eric for a little bit. He was pretty dejected, and you can kind of tell when he is. But
you can definitely tell what Eric is thinking. There is no question about that. It's to his credit.
He's going to let you know. But I think I'm hoping. I mean, it's just like a little bit of a language barrier. You know, you get a European coach, and I don't know if it's like a learning curve or, you know. just something in the difference in the game. But, you know, hopefully that's all it is. And everybody can show a little bit of patience, get through this first part of the season. And, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Like I said, I guess we'll get Edie back this week, maybe.
Soon. Practice yesterday. All right. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's wrap up with Matt P. on 240.
Matt.
Good morning again, Jeff. How are you?
Were you on 240 yesterday, too? Was that you?
I'm always on 240, man. That's my name.
You do seem to always be on. Have you noticed a difference in 240, by the way, over the last couple months?
No.
No.
No, not really.
Not really. Okay.
Still idiots everywhere in potholes.
Your thoughts?
I was there last night. Last night was my son's 10th birthday, and I bought tickets last Thursday for the game last night.
Yeah.
And when Ja walked out the tunnel, you could just see the misery on his face. He was miserable the entire game. His body language, his face, everything about it showed. You said something earlier about talking with your
it's my wife.
Your wife, about seeing it from Ja's side. And I've been trying to do that and give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's really hard to do that. He doesn't want to be everybody's monkey, but yet he signed the contract and he's making all this money. That's what he signed up for. He signed up to play basketball.
I agree with that.
The face of his team, and he's not holding up his side of the bargain.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Another way to put it is monkey's such a freighted term. Like she was talking about her son who was dance monkey.
Like
a robot. It's right. It's you're not a robot, and you're not a robot, and that's the point she was making. Is you want to acknowledge people's humanity, even though they make money, a huge amount of money, and whatever else. You don't. You're not just there. You know, and you can't pretend that there aren't emotions involved here. So if you want to see it from his perspective, I think that's some of the way you see it from his perspective is that he's not just going to show up and pretend he's happy, put on a happy face and give you the questions that the answers to the questions that you want. Because you want him to, right? Any more than he was going to stop celebrating when you wanted him to stop celebrating. Like, that's very clear. Ja has, I mean, even in the series that Drew did about Ja going to China this summer, Ja's team was explaining, like, he's not your average superstar. He's not going to do something just because corporate wants you to do it. Like, it's just never how he's been wired. And so I don't know that we should have expected. I'll be honest. I expected better than last night. I expected a more cheerful face from everybody, like, going forward, right? And we absolutely did not get that. And so we are where we are, and we'll see where it leads. And I don't know the way out right now, honestly. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about it on the other side. Before then, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, the folks to call Amanda, not a friend, but I know that she worked with Keller Williams Realty, and she and her husband Kyle were like, okay, we want to sell our house. We want to buy a new house, but we don't know how much our house is going to sell for. We don't know when it's going to sell. How do you operate in that environment? And so they invited Josh Heisa to look at their house, and that way you get certainty of when it's going to sell and how much it's going to sell for, because he makes you a guaranteed instant cash offer at full market value. And so that's what they did. And that makes it easier then to know where you want to move and know how much you want to spend. It simplifies the entire.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.